Let's welcome in the men's associate head coach. He is Chris Lowry. He joins us right now on Wildcat Insider on News Radio 1350. Chris, appreciate the time. Good to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
What are you most fond of with this Wildcat men's basketball team right now?
You know, as a coach, you're never really fond of anything. I just think that we're getting better, and to have 24 assists yesterday, that was a big part of us continuously getting these guys to learn how to share the ball and to really focus on getting better in the motion stuff and learning how to attack different zones and learning how to attack different types of man-to-man defenses.
The season's just a little more than a month old, and you know, dovetailing off of what you just said, do you feel like the Cats have grown more offensively or defensively in the first 5 weeks of the season?
Oh, we've grown more offensively. You know, how we are as a staff, the DNA makeup, we know we're going to be good defensively all the time first. And you know, because of how we guard and play and defend, it's hard to really get good offensively early because we really put in so many concepts defensively that it really overwhelms younger dudes, and it's really happened to our younger guys. But now you're starting to see them slowly but surely make better plays, learn how to play offensively when there's not a play for you. And sometimes that's the biggest thing to teach a young kid in this generation is to play hard when it's not for you. But what we do, it might come to you at any moment, and you're just never going to know. And I think Marcus has done a really good job as a true freshman of really learning how to get a play when it's not for you. And, I mean, I think it's shown up in his stats, and he's our leading scorer. He's got a knack for getting a basket. And, you know, Nigel's slowly coming along. And, you know, Will had a great week of practice where we basically had to threaten him to be more offensive, and it showed up in the game.
Chris, it's Wyatt. Congratulations on that win. You mentioned the 24 assists on the 28 field goals yesterday, and the difference from Tuesday to Sunday in how you attacked a zone that was, in a way, somewhat similar, I think augments what you're talking about, doesn't it? I mean, these kids are learning really pretty quickly at what they're doing out there.
Right, and we wanted to play different people that would do different things, and we've seen everything so far, and it's been good for our new guys to experience it. Now, you know, 10 games in, you know, we really are telling our younger dudes we're not freshmen anymore. You play 10 games in college, and there shouldn't be any jitters, and there shouldn't be, you know, I don't know what to do at this point. And, I just think that as Shane and Will and Gibb continue to grow into the comfort level of their new roles, then you'll see our freshmen really pick it up and be better because at times we put a lot of pressure on Marcus to get a basket. And, you know, it's not fair, but that's where we are right now. He's good enough where we can put that pressure on him to get us going offensively, and he's done it several times. So, you know, that's a situation where he can lead us in scoring. He can hit 10 or more, you know, points in a row to get us going offensively.
I know you brought this up just a moment ago, but how encouraging was it to see Will step up offensively? And is 12 shots, is that around where you want and this basketball team needs him to be at in a game?
It's not about shots, about makes. You know, that's the key. You know, and in order to make a shot, you got to take them. And, you know, we never talk about how many shots a guy can get because that creates selfishness in your team. You know, you just talk about you got to take open ones. And we always say this, there's nothing more open than wide open. And he's shot faked a lot this year for no reason. And now getting him to just have a comfort level and letting him know, hey, you know, you've got some equity built up in this thing. You need to, you know, try to help us in a different way. And maybe it was on us, and, you know, talking about him being a point guard, you know, he just needed to be a player. And, you know, and that's a sign of any senior. You got to do what it takes to win. And I think we've really forced him to overthink and overanalyze this whole point guard thing when we just need him to be a player.
Coach, we were visiting yesterday. I was talking to Coach Weber at the shoot-around, and one of the questions I posed to him was about Marcus and the consistency of which he has scored, and has he exceeded what you thought he might to this point? He said, no, I actually expected more. My question is, How has he handled, in your mind, what you're asking him to do? And put into perspective how difficult it is for a freshman to take that lead role, because he doesn't seem to blink over it at all. He handles it really, in my mind, pretty well.
Oh, he's a great kid. And all along we said this kid's going to be really good. And you know, what, no matter what he's ranked. I mean, now you can tell how offensively gifted this kid is. And, you know, you don't become a parade All-American by just walking around. You know, right. We knew this kid was really good offensively. And as far as him handling it, it's all about his mental makeup and how he was raised and how he carries himself day to day. He's very quiet, so he's not a talker. He's a doer. Mm-hmm. And when you have, you know, your best younger guy is a worker bee and just works and doesn't say anything, it's easier for the seniors to deal with that, as opposed to if he was brash and arrogant, kind of a punk on the court. It would be harder for our older guys to deal with this young guy coming in here being, you know, saying these things and acting this way. Marcus doesn't say anything. You know, he's emotional. He makes the shot. You know, other than that, he doesn't do very much as far as bringing attention to himself.
Associate Head Coach Chris Lowry, our guest here on Wildcat Insider on News Radio 1350. Chris, we'll get to Gonzaga in just a moment, but there's a lot of buzz right now because Javon Thomas is on the verge of being able to practice, of being able to play in a game. And Coach Weber has said his first action could be the Tulane game in Brooklyn. Since it's mid-semester, can you give us a sense of how this coaching staff tries to bring him along, get him acclimated, because he is going to change the dynamics on this team a little bit, but he brings a lot to the table. So what's the process like getting him ready with Big 12 play starting literally a week after he can play in his first game?
The biggest hurdles is that we couldn't coach him. We couldn't do anything with him as an individual or with a team. So that's a huge hurdle, number one, in itself. And just secondly, we try to do as much as we could in the preseason of taking days where we just say, okay, this is, instead of doing individual workouts, we say, okay, this is open gym. And we would do it for Javon so he could play with the team, because, you know, he could do open gym with the team. He couldn't play. He couldn't do anything with the coaches involved. So, you know, just trying to get him acclimated to playing with them, even though open gym is completely different from an actual Division I game. I think that he's gonna have some struggles. He's gonna have some high points, but once he gets acclimated, he's gonna really help us. Hit the ground running. He's the type of person that's gonna play hard through mistakes. So when you deal with a kid who's gonna make mistakes, who's gonna play hard through them, hopefully he can have success early, where we can just kind of get him in there and really get him going. Because once we can go with him, we're gonna watch so much film with him and talk him through stuff off the court just to help him during the Christmas break. And, you know, we always talk about Christmas break because when you're a pro, you're just playing basketball. There's no class, there's nothing. So now you get a chance to be a pro for a little bit. Now you can actually watch film with us and do some other things and get ready to compete and get ready for the Big 12.
There are a lot of K-State fans, Coach Lowry, that have not really seen this young guy and are anxious to do so. Can you describe a little bit about what he will bring in terms of his game to the table?
I think, number one, defensively, how we want to pressure the ball. I think with him and Nigel out there, we can really be a menace defensively out front. But the number one thing he does is he's extremely competitive, and he can really push the basketball. You know, he's very fast with the ball. He's very athletic for a six-footer. So the guy can go finish over the top, and he'll rebound the ball for us. And this is an unfair comparison, but you know, the closest thing that the K-State fans is Denny. You know, as far as being able to push the basketball that fast, and those are the things that we would hope that Javon could do for us once he gets eligible and gets going.
With those physical traits, Chris, can you add on what his basketball IQ and acumen are like?
Well, I think, you know, when you want a point guard, how we play, we want him to be fast, be able to push the ball, be able to get them ball screen and make plays, but ultimately lead and defend. You know, and I think when your point guard can defend and lead, then the IQ stuff comes from everybody else falling in line. You know, that's the head of what we do. If he can be a coach on the floor from us, and the things that we promote, he promotes and actually does them, then, you know, you don't worry about IQ, you worry about everybody else falling in line behind the leader. And you know, sometimes your leader isn't always your best player or your smartest guy. Sometimes he's your hardest worker, and he's the guy who does the blue-collar stuff that just helps you win basketball games that show up. But as far as Javon, you know, he's gonna do some things that are unbelievable. He's going to do some things that you're going to scratch your head. But until he gets in our system and really develops, you know, that's when we'll kind of know long-term how really good he can be for us.
You guys right now have the number one scoring defense in the Big 12, and you get a team in Gonzaga that's averaging 87 points a game. What kind of a challenge is that going to be defensively?
Well, the number one thing we got to do is continuously defend, but we got to make more offensive plays on them. We know we'll be able to guard some of the things they do, but if we guard and don't score, eventually they're going to start. They're too good offensively for you to keep them held down for very long. You know, being at West Virginia up 10 and then pulling it out of the end, we know that they can get going and put together significant runs. But as far as us, we got to make them play how we want to play. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. Last year we did it for a half, and then in the second half, everything went out the door. We stopped doing what we needed to do, and they got away from us. And you know, obviously they're a very different team. They lost two NBA front court guys, and they didn't replace them. So that means that, you know, the Dower and the seven footer are really their only two big guys that they play. Mm-hmm. And then they'll bring in Barham as a small four, kind of like how we do with Shane. So their depth inside is nowhere near what it was last year. But those guards just got a year older, and that can only bode well for them. As good as, you know, Bell Jr. and Pangos and Stockton are, those three are a year older, so that means they're better, and their averages are phenomenal. And what they're doing offensively as a team and a unit is just, it's hard to believe the numbers and the stats, what they have.
Who does Chris Lowry think Gonzaga's best player is?
Well, it's kind of game to game. I think their best all around is Gary Bell Jr. He does everything for them. You know, he guards the best perimeter guy. He's the best at attacking the rim on their team. He's the one that can hit pull-ups. You know, Pangos, everybody likes because he can make threes. He's such a gifted offensive and skilled shooter. But the dirty work stuff is, if you let Bell go off, you have no chance. Because you know Pangos is going to hit, because you know Dower and the big 7 foot. You know they're going to hit, but Bell is the key. When Bell doesn't play well, they struggle. And it's just like why Wichita beat him last year. He broke his foot. That's the difference between them. Even though they had NBA frontline guys, they couldn't guard anybody on the perimeter without him being out there, and they couldn't contain Wichita's ball through a penetration. And that's how important he is to them. I think if you ask them, they would tell you the same thing, just from his significance when he was missed last year in the NCAA tournament.
He really is a unique player, isn't he, Coach? I mean, I'm looking at his numbers here, 54% field goals, 51% from three, gets to the free throw line, and as you talked about, his ability to defend is probably their best guy.
Oh, absolutely. And he's a good player. He's a patient scorer. And the key, they're good because Pangos and Bell are extremely patient offensively. And that's why they're good. And, you know, that's some of the things we're trying to get our guys to understand. Last year, early on, we weren't very patient. But once we got going, when we learned who we were very patient in how we got Rod Point. You know, how Angel got going. We were really patient in what we did, and we're slowly starting to see things and to understand two-man game actions and pick and roll, but that's why Gonzaga is very good. They don't run very much because they don't have to, because those guys have been together for a significant amount of time, and they get it. They know how to play off each other.
What do you think about the level of the Big 12 right now, Chris, a couple of weeks out from conference play starting?
Well, I mean, if people said we're going to be down as a league, I think that's pretty much been cleared up as far as our non-conference, you know, wins as a league as a whole. I think we're probably still number one in RPI in the league. So just understanding how good of a league is going to be, and it's going to be, you know, a dogfight this year. I mean, you can – I know who was picked and all that stuff, but it's going to be so hard to win on the road in our league this year just from seeing guys being a year older and seeing who's coming to the league, and just knowing coaching styles and knowing what's going to get taken away by each different staff. I think you're going to see some great games in the Big 12 this year.
Who's the most improved team?
You know what? it's kind of hard to say. Probably Oklahoma. I would say they're not. They were good last year. I think they're the biggest surprise. But people don't know. They're right outside the top 25, and right. I think they should be a top 25 team with their wins, and they've kind of stood under the radar and been a very good team.
On Chris Lowry's Christmas list.
I think we just finished the new year, this year off, well. I think that we talked about being 1-0 each game in December. And then by doing that, that'll lead to a happy January. And so that's kind of what we're saying. Well, if you're asking me 1-0 the rest of the way in December, that's my Christmas wish.
That'd be wins against Gonzaga, Tulane, and pretty good GW team.
You betcha.
Not bad at all.
I'm not going to say it, but that's my wish list. You just said it.
Okay. We got you. That's not asking too much, I don't think, Coach. Chris Lowry, our guest, associate head coach for the K-State men. Chris, we'll see you down in Wichita on Saturday at Intrust Bank Arena. Thanks for the time today.
All right. Thanks. Anytime.
Good hooking up with Chris Lowry from the Wildcat men's basketball staff. 5